Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Honey on my lips. The psalmist said in Psalm 19 verse 10 about the word of God that it is sweeter than honey. Join Lady Reverend Adelaide Hayward Mills.
Life has a way of dishing out to us things that we did not expect. Sometimes it's a dream that seems to be delayed. Many times you see a man, you know, he has a good job, he's a cool dude, his suit is smart, and you think, when I marry him, everything will be together. The unexpected is unexpected from our perspective, but from God's perspective, it is not unexpected.
On Sweet Melodies 94.3, as she puts the honey of God's word on your lips, equipping you for all facets of life this and every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Honey on My Lips will change your life, preach good news to the poor, set the captives free, heal the brokenhearted, bring recovery of sight to the blind, and proclaim God's year of Jubilee. Honey on My Lips. Saturdays at 9 a.m. on Sweet Melody. Be blessed by God as you tune in to Lady Reverend Adelaide Hayward Mills,
whose presence is here. We want to acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit. We want to acknowledge the Lordship of the Holy Spirit this evening. And we want to say, Holy Spirit, have your liberty to move amongst us, to do what you want to do. Let no one be a hindrance to you, and let no one stand in your way, but accomplish the will of the Master in our lives today. Come breathe upon me, breath of God, help me.
Breathe upon me.
You need another key.
Spirit of the Lord, as I lift my hands in surrender to your name, Most High, for I'm yielding to your Spirit, and I'm walking in your love. Jesus, I adore. Jesus, I adore. Jesus, I adore you. Jesus, I adore. Jesus, I adore you. Your glory, oh God. Show us your glory, oh Lord.
Show us your glory.
Show us your glory, oh Lord.
Let the dew of heaven,
let the dew of heaven bring us refreshing. Show us your glory once more.
Show us your glory once more.
Show us your glory once more. Show
God, show us your glory. Lord, let no flesh glory in your presence, but let only the Spirit of God be lifted up. Father, I pray that you will give me utterance. I pray that you will cause me to preach the word, not the philosophy of man, not the psychology of man, not the desires of man, but to preach the word, O God, in season and out of season. May I rebuke, exhort, O God, and reprove with all long suffering and doctrine. May the anointing fall upon this vessel, O God. May there be an infilling of the Holy Spirit. May the very place on which we stand be declared holy ground in Jesus' name. And may the word of God accomplish that for which it is being sent this evening. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your grace to preach your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Please take your seats. Praise the Lord. Once again, it's a joy to be here. And all too soon, our meeting is coming to an end. Amen. But as Lady Pastor Bridget Meyer was telling Lady Pastor Elaine, I think that we have to be grateful because nowadays we hold one-day daughter meetings in various places. So we thank God for making it possible for us to be here for 2 days. Hallelujah. And because the churches are growing and are so many, it is very difficult to go to every church in the year. The branches are about 500. If even I left my home every day to hold a daughter convention, I still would not be able to meet that demand. Amen. But God, through the bishop, gave me a bright idea. And he said that I should raise other women who would preach with me and also travel with me and also go their separate ways sometimes and preach with me. Hallelujah. So that's exactly what we've done. And they are called the Gracious Women. Amen. And Lady Pastor Bridget Marion is part of them. And now it's just a pilot group. We just started not long ago. And we are still organizing. But God has been gracious and they've been able to minister in many places in and outside Ghana. And I give God the glory for that. They go and they hold daughter conventions. And I believe that as the Bible says that Moses should lay hands on the 70 elders so that whatever spirit God had put on him would also be transferred. I believe that that is what is happening. And I pray that as you sit in the pew today, the next time, God will find you as a gracious woman, going about and bringing redemption to the people that he has died for. Hallelujah. This year, we have held daughter conventions in various places. And in the 3 universities in Ghana, in various cities, we have already had a daughter convention. And there's a female prison in Ghana, in a place called Insawam. And we have been granted permission to go and hold daughter, you can make it in the female prison. And we thank God for what he's doing. And one gentleman said to me, I'm going to make daughter clothes for all the female prisoners, Lady Pastor. That is what I want to do. And so we have to send somebody in there to take their measurements because how many of you know that we are all different shapes and sizes? And we trust that God will be gracious. I want to thank God for the privilege of standing here to preach to you. Hallelujah. And I want to thank my husband, the bishop, for releasing me into ministry. Hallelujah. You know, we were invited to Grace Bible Church, and he has gone home, and I have stayed with his permission and blessing so that I can also fulfill God's call on my life. It is not always easy to be a wife and a minister because you are always seen as a wife. And it takes a certain grace to release your wife into ministry. Amen. So I want to thank him for not being a hindrance to me, but for encouraging me and for even giving us the name Daughter, You Can Make It, and giving us direction and his blessing. And we pray that that same blessing will extend to you so that you don't have to be a rebellious wife to be released into ministry. But God will grant you wisdom and humility to know what to do. Amen. I also want to thank Reverend Clufio and his wife and Pastor Kinsley and all the pastors, Lady Pastor Busa, Lady Pastor Nana, Pastor Anne, all of you. Thank you for having us here. When we come, we don't feel like strangers. We feel like we are at home, and it's sometimes difficult to go back. But we have to go back. Amen. So God bless you, and I pray that whatever God does today will be for eternity. And I just want to speak to you briefly about daughter, just one thing. Daughter, just one thing. Hallelujah. Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Hallelujah. Psalm 27. I also pray that many of you will be able to accompany us to our various daughter destinations. Amen. We are believing God that on Friday night, we'll have a one-night daughter in Ethiopia as we go home. And we believe that the Lord will be gracious. Amen. Reading from verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this I shall be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent he will hide me. He will lift me upon a rock. Hallelujah. Daughter, just one thing. Now the Bible is saying here, the psalmist is saying, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? If it's the Lord who is your light and your salvation, who is a match for God? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And he said, when my enemies, they came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. And they said, though a host encamp round about me, my heart will not fear. Though war rise up against me, in spite of this, I will be confident. Why is it that people will rise up to devour your flesh? Why is it that a host will come up against you? And why is it that war may rise up against you and you will not fear? Because there's one thing that you have desired. Hallelujah. Just one thing, daughter. Now, many of us have varied and various desires. Hallelujah. In Genesis 3:16, the Bible says, your desire shall be for your husband, and he will rule over you. It was one of the curses of Eve. Your desire, if this is your desire, it will belong to your husband. It's your desire, all right, but it will be for him, and he will rule over you. Hallelujah. That was the effect of the fall in the garden. Because now Eve showed that she wasn't submissive to anything. And so God had to put her under a curse that your desire will be to your husband and he will rule. At first there was no such thing. But now you need a ruler. Because if we leave you alone, you will be sharing all sorts of funny apples around. And we will not be happy. So your desire, and many women, their desire is for a man. Bishop says that we are like, you know, those insects that fly when it rains. Afflicted, they go towards the light, knowing that it will burn them. And so our desire is unto a husband. It doesn't matter how many degrees she has. It doesn't matter if she drives the latest car. Sometimes it doesn't even matter if she's better educated than the man. The care seems to want to penetrate. Your desire shall be for your husband and he will rule over you. And many of us have various desires. And those are the desires that lead us to take certain decisions. And that is why sometimes we want to marry. The desire to feel loved. It's a natural thing that God has put in us. The desire to be loved. The desire to be accepted for who you are. All these things are God-given traits in us. But sometimes the desire supersedes even common sense. Amen. We so desire to be loved that even when the person doesn't reciprocate our love, we still desire to be loved. The person doesn't treat you well, but you say, oh, this is what I desire, lady pastor. The person is kicking you. Sometimes at marriage comes, I say, you are not even married to him yet. He's kicking you. Why do you want to marry? Lady pastor, I'm in love. That is foolish love. Amen, ladies. But it's a desire. And that desire keeps you going. Keeps you moving in a certain direction. Because you have that desire. And sometimes our desires are uncontrolled. Uncontrolled desires. A lady was sharing her testimony with me. She said, you know, my boyfriend used to be a married man. And when he came to say that we should break up, lady pastor, I was very hurt. And I wept for days. I couldn't eat. And I said, really? So what do you think, how do you think the wife feels? You, the thing does not even belong to you. You couldn't eat for days. You lost weight. Have you thought about it? How the wife feels? Oh, lady pastor, we are not talking about that. We are talking about what I went through. One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after. Many brothers marry because they desire one thing. One. Just one. Amen. And they think that if I marry and I get this one thing, every time she will be ready. Every time she will flow. Every time there will be variety. But when they marry, they say that their desire is asleep. Their desire has a headache. The desire cannot cooperate. One thing. Hallelujah. And how often our desires are not realized the way we expect them to be. It is because before we realize them, we are the ones holding the remote control and controlling how the other person will act. So this man, if I marry him, he will say kind words to me. So in the television of your mind, he's saying kind words. But he's not somebody who talks. But in your view and in your sight, he will say kind words to you. And in the same way, the brothers, when they might say, this sister, if I marry her, ooh, it will be so wonderful. Every night she will do different things. 90 different colors. And then you marry her and she wears jeans to come and see. One thing have I desired. And that will I seek after. Hallelujah. Even children have various desires. Sometimes they follow you. I want this toy. I want this gadget. By all means, I want it. You get it for them. After a few hours, after a few days, the steam rolls off. And their desire has departed. And they see something else. And they want something else. And that is why you and I cannot just follow any desires we have. But those are just one thing. The psalmist is saying here, one thing. A host is rising up against me. War is coming against me. People are beginning to devour my flesh. But I have one thing. And that is, one thing have I desired. Your desire is within your power. What you desire is within your power. Hallelujah. One thing have I desired. And then he goes on, that will I seek after. Because desire makes you seek. Hallelujah. Can't you see when the brothers are desiring you and they are following you, they are always calling you. Can't you see? They are always, you know, sending you mail. And you say, oh, even as I'm a beloved now, they call me 8 times a day. When I marry, times 10. Wrong. That is what you think in your mind. But desire makes you go after. Hallelujah. Before I got married, I stayed in another city from my husband. I didn't stay in the same city as him. And there were many times when I'll just be home and I'll suddenly have a visitor. It will be my beloved. Oh, I just came for a few hours. I'm going back. How did you come? Oh, I flew by military aeroplane to get here. The military aeroplane has no insurance. They tell you before you board it, no insurance. Anything can happen. You get on board. And he got on board many times. Because he was desiring one thing. So he sought after it. Hallelujah. So your desire leads you to seek. Now, if we want to know what our desires are, because sometimes we have not sat down to know what our desires are, look for what you seek. Look for what you put energy in. Look for where your drive is. It will lead you to where your desire lies. Amen, ladies. Amen. Like the lady here, maybe your desire is to paint your face all the time. It's true that you should look good. But if most of your energy is spent on the outward, perhaps that is your desire. If all your waking and thinking moments are based on that relationship, perhaps that is the one thing that you are desiring. And because of that, you are seeking after it. The Bible says that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So what you value, your heart will go after it. Hallelujah. And I'm sad to say that we value so many things. And we don't believe the Bible when it says that all the world and all its glory is fleeting. It's passing. We don't believe it. We want to experience it before we will believe it. Hallelujah. But we can change our desires. Because our desires are within our power. That is why the Bible is full of I will bless the Lord at all times. You have a will. You have the ability to channel your desire in a certain way. Yesterday, somebody came up to me and asked me a question. If there's True Love magazine and there's a Christian magazine, when Christians come here today and nobody is watching, they will choose the True Love, Lady Pastor. Why is that so? I said, because our desires are carnal. Our desires are not spiritual. And we are afraid that spiritual things will be boring. And we feel that spiritual things will not be exciting. And we feel that if we choose spiritual things, our lives will come to an end. But rather, when you choose and desire that one thing, all other things are added unto you. And it's not enough to just desire. One thing have I desired. It didn't stop there. That will I seek after. God honors only those who seek. It is those who seek who find. Not only those who desire. Desire is one step. Seeking is the next thing. And I want to ask us practically in our lives, what is it that we seek? What is it that we seek? We seek relationships that are put in broken systems. That cannot hold any water. That's what we seek. And when we seek it, and it's still not working, we tell ourselves, if I put in more energy, it will become what I want it to become. But God will never set an idol up against himself. And some of us, the reason why God has allowed you to go even through affliction in your relationships and your marriage is so that your eyes will turn unto him. If it were not because of your problems, you would have been criticizing the charismatic churches by now. But because of your problem, here you are today. God is turning your eyes so that you can seek that one thing. Because we are so caught up in desiring so many things. And it is not wrong, as I said, to have various desires. Some people eat this, some people don't eat that. Some people hate this, some people like this. All that is allowed because God gives you your free will because he created you in his image and he must allow you that. But he's saying that when all is said and done, what is that one thing? Sometimes when we are singing that song, when all is said and done, and everyone is gone, Lord, you are really all I said, Lord, is it true? Is it true you are really all I want? When all is said and done and everyone is gone, is it that you are really what I want or you are really what I have? Everybody is gone, so you are what is remaining, not that you are what I want. Amen. One thing have I desired. And then he says that That will I seek after. That what? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And some of us, we dwell in the house of the Lord when things are going well. And we dwell in the house of the Lord when we can see some benefit directly for us. And we dwell in the house of the Lord when we feel that it will be of social benefit. I'll find a beloved. You know, lately what has been happening is that people have been bringing their daughters to various people in the church, various pastors, various... said that, please look for a husband in your congregation for my daughter. I said, what church does your daughter... She's Catholic. But why do you want her to find a husband there? Because the God-fearing men are here. Is your daughter a member of the church? No. I said, I have a lot of daughters in the church that I'm also believing God for. So if you go and bring your Roman Catholic sister, it will not be fair. And it's not even that I have brothers that I'm sharing. Our reasons for dwelling in the house of the Lord are varied. Hallelujah. Our motives are varied. And the one who judges us by the reins of our hearts, he knows. And the house of the Lord also, the Bible says that, for you are the temple of the living God. God dwells in us. And he's calling us into relationship with him. Many times we seek after other things. And we learn by experience and the school of hard knocks that the things don't satisfy. But when we read in the Bible that earthly things don't satisfy, we don't believe it. So we are always using our lives as guinea pigs in the laboratory. We will have to go through the mill. When we go through hard knocks and we start crying, oh God, all I desire is you. Because the knocks of life have knocked our heads before we begin. They say that experience is the best teacher. No, the word of God is the best teacher. Because the word of God shares with us the experiences of people, both good and bad, but we don't learn it. So now we have to learn experientially that God's word is true. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Not on weekends. Not on festive days. Not only when his daughter. But all the days of my life. Our walk with God is till the end of our lives. It is not a seasonal thing. It is not a temporal or temporary thing. It is for the rest of the days of our lives. Daughter, just one thing. The Bible says in the book of Thessalonians, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. He says, set your affection on things that are above and not on things below. That shows us that we have power over our affection. Love is a decision. Some of you think love is a feeling. Love is a shiver. Love is a flame. Love is a decision. Because you decide that this is the person I love and I'm going to give my love to this person. Love is a decision. And when you get married and things are rough, love is still a decision. It is a commitment. Hallelujah. Not that when things are bad. When I was saying the vows, I didn't understand it. So when I said for better, for worse, I didn't mean it. So please, at this juncture that it has become worse, I think I want to bow out. That's why you must think before you come and make vows here. Don't come and waste our time. For better, for worse. In sickness and in health. In prosperity and in adversity. It means that is the real reflection of life. The Bible says that while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, day and night, they won't cease. So the seasons of our lives will keep changing. But your commitment and your decision to love should not change with that. Hallelujah. Otherwise, so when I married my wife, she was size 22. So that's my commitment. When she becomes 42, I'll leave her. Love is a decision. And loving God is also a decision. Set your affection. It means when you set something, when you set jelly, you fix it. Fix your affection on things that are above. It means that your affection always wants to roam in various ways. The things that you love. Some of us, our desire is just for money. Money at any cost. There's a lady in the church in Ghana. She told me, you know, if I ever come into the world again, I will never marry a man who is now starting life. I said, why? She said, it's too much hard work. Oh. You must come when everything is okay. Lady pastor, do you understand? I said, what does that mean? Oh, even if my husband dies, I will not like to marry again. But if I decide to marry again, you have to be the Sultan of Brunei. Am I now going to come with you? You have one pair of shoes. We are all sweeping, moving together. And then when you prosper, you become some way. Oh, lady pastor, I don't have time. I want the time that everything is cooked. And then I can move in. The desire for money makes women sell their bodies. Makes women lead all types of life. We are in a hurry. That thing that we are desiring affects our commitment to God. Because it so drives us that we look, what does he have? Who is he? Let me scan you and see. What are you offering me as you are coming? But ladies, so far as he loves God, he has eyes for the future, then you also work, both of you are moving, then there's hope for the future. Hallelujah. But this modern day, you want instant milk, instant everything, microwaved husband. That's what you want. And your desire for money, the Bible says that the desire for money and for worldly things, the lust for money and for other things, it chokes the word and renders it ineffective. Amen. But daughter, just one thing. One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Why? To inquire in his temple. This verse says to meditate in his house. Hallelujah. Many of us, because of the desire for other things, it's money that drives you to work. It's good. You have to live. But it doesn't. You don't have to be a slave to anything. The only thing that should be our Lord is Jesus. There's nothing else. Even yourself must not be your Lord. It's Jesus Christ who must be Lord. Hallelujah. But many times, our Lord is different things. Sometimes our emotions rule us more than the word of God. Lady pastor, I feel like this, so I just do it. I don't feel like forgiving. I flow. What God says, it's not part of the equation. What God's views are is not part of the equation. How I feel. And we are enthroned on the throne of our lives. And Jesus has no place. But if we will shut out everything, even if our flesh is being eaten up, if a host is encamping against us, even when there's war in our homes, if we would just settle down and try and focus on that one thing. One thing, just to be in his presence. One thing, to spend time and develop our relationship with him. Other things will fall into place. But many times, things are calling you. Urgent things are calling you. But urgent things are not necessarily important. And because of that, you miss out on even meeting him in his temple. You are so busy. You are so in a hurry. You don't have time to meet him in the temple. Daughter, just one thing. And then he said, for in the day of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. For means because. Because you have desired one thing, because you have sought after it, because you have inquired in his temple, in the day of trouble, he will hide you. But we leave what is important and we go and do the urgent. We say, oh, I have trouble here, let me tackle it. The fire is here, let me turn it out. This one is up, let me... But the answer to all that is the desire for one thing and seeking after it and following after it to inquire also of God. That will lay all the other things to rest. But it's the devil that deceives us. No. In the midst of trouble, how can you have only one desire? In the midst of trouble, how can you say you are going to inquire? You have to sort out your problems. It's not true. And I think that Jesus saw that. That's why he told us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing will be added unto you. Hallelujah. Why is it that it's difficult to seek things from above? Because those things are eternal and they seem to be hard sometimes. Sometimes it's hard to seek spiritual things. It's hard to seek godly things because the other desires, they seem to bring gratification quickly. There's quick gratification. So we move that. This is the desire. This is what I want to do. And then we just move into it. But the things that God wants us to desire, they seem to take time. But when you go for the quick fixes, it's a long road to come out of it. In the day of trouble, when you seek Him first, when you desire Him, and you seek after Him, in the day of trouble, He automatically will hide you. You don't have to hide yourself because of your seeking Him and your inquiring in His temple. In the day of trouble, He will hide you in His pavilion. Hallelujah. Daughter, just one thing. Another thing is in Philippians 3:13. So we can desire one thing, and we can also choose, we can also do one thing. We can also do one thing. Philippians 3, verse 13. Let's read from verse 12. Not that I have already obtained it, or have already become perfect, but I press on, in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But this one thing I do. Everybody say, but this one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal. For the price of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says that not that I have already attained. Do you know Paul? He went to the third, seventh heavens. He got revelations that he could not utter. He met God on the way to Damascus. He was taken to the wilderness, the desert of Arabia, and God spoke to him and gave him revelation concerning his word. And he says, I count not myself to have reached. How come you? You haven't reached anywhere. You feel that you have reached with God. You know everything that He would like to do. You know His mind already. You know the future from today. And since you got to this level in Christianity, there's no more to discover in God. How come? How come you? That's how you think. Not that I have attained. That's what Paul said. But how come you are living as if you have attained or have already become perfect? The Bible says we are being changed from glory to glory. So one degree of glory is another, but there's glory 3, then there's glory 4, then there's glory 5. Not yet perfect. Hallelujah. You keep going. But I press on. He didn't say I slide on. I press on. Pressing means pressure. Pressing means effort. Pressing means drive. And pressing means opposition. Because you press on only when something is pressing against. Then you press on. Hallelujah. You persist and you persevere. I press on. But many Christians, we feel that life will just be a bed of roses. You don't have to press on. You don't want to press on in your marriage. Say, I'm tired. I'm sleeping on. I press on. Hallelujah. I press on in order that I may lay hold of that. I may apprehend that for which I was apprehended, King James says. But this one says, I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ. He's saying that Jesus Christ laid hold of me. But I'm pressing off so that I also lay hold of that, the reason for which Christ laid hold on me. I'm pressing on towards that mark. And then he says, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. That thing that I'm pressing forward to get, I don't think I've attained it yet. But this one thing I do. Daughter, just one thing. You can desire one thing. You can also do one thing. Forgetting what lies behind. Hallelujah. What are the things in our lives that lie behind? Offense is something that lies behind. Betrayal is something that lies behind. Heartache is something that lies behind. Disappointment is something that lies behind. Hopelessness and despair is something that lies behind. And Paul said, but this one thing I do. To forget is to do something. You have to consciously say, I'm going to forget. Hallelujah. You have to forget the past. Not the lessons of the past. But you have to let go of the past. When the past has a hold on you, you never go forward. When the past has a hold on you, you never progress beyond a certain point. Because you had a bad experience with men, all men are bad. You are not able to do that one thing, forgetting what lies behind. Because your husband sinned against you since 1952, you are not able to forget what lies behind. It takes effort to forget what lies behind. It takes God to forget what lies behind. That is why Joseph said yesterday, I was preaching to you, that Manasseh, God has made me to forget. It takes divine help to forget. Because sometimes the scars of life are so deep, it's not easy to forget. And Paul said, but this one thing I do, forgetting. Forgetting is something you do actively. To forget, hallelujah. And some of you, when something happens in 2007, you say, yes, come, let's build up the evidence. 1952, you did it. 68, you did it. 70, you did it. 80, the same. 85, again. 90, again. 2004, you did it. 2005, 2007, it means that's how you are. But this one thing I do. One of the greatest stumbling blocks to Christians and ministry is the ability to forget offense and move on. It is not that the offense didn't happen. It is not that it wasn't painful. It is not that it's not real, but you need to forget so that you can move on. You need to forget, otherwise something will always hold you back. And anybody who is held back cannot go forward. When you are driving, if you keep looking into your rearview mirror, the things in the past, you keep looking, you will drive into the wrong ditch. In fact, into a ditch. Hallelujah. So you must do that one thing. Forgetting. Some of us, we have come into Christ, but we have not forgotten Egypt. Egypt is in us. We left Egypt, but Egypt is in us. Hallelujah. And when any trial comes, you say, we remember the leeks and the onions. Let's organize ourselves and go back. Since we came to know the Lord, too many things are happening. We can't forget what lies behind. Let's go back for that old boyfriend. He was better than this so-called Christian brother. You miss the leeks and onions of Egypt. And you want to go back. Let's read Hebrews chapter 11. This one thing I do. Daughter, just one thing. Just one thing. This one thing I do. Hallelujah. Verse 15. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 15. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Hallelujah. The Bible says, if they had had, they had been thinking of that country from whence they came out, they would have had opportunity. When you look back, you have opportunity to return. To return into bitterness. To return into fruitlessness. To return into worldliness. If you look back, you will always have the opportunity to have returned. Hallelujah. And so don't create the opportunity to return. Amen, ladies. Allow God to heal that wound. It is the guilty that need forgiveness, not the guiltless. Hallelujah. But decide that I'm going to flow with the nature of God. You have the nature of man and the nature of God. I'm going to choose a superior nature. And that is the nature of God. And the nature of God is to just forgive and to just be merciful. So I'll choose the plush nature of God and not the crass nature of man. Hallelujah. But this one thing I do. Some of you, God, you feel disappointed you. And you are not able to forget that disappointment. So you are in church, but your heart is far. The Bible says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far removed from me. God disappointed you. You had a problem. You felt that the pastor should treat you in a certain way. He didn't. And so you have not forgotten what lies behind. What lies behind is what is shaping your actions today. The past is what is dictating your presence at the moment. And anybody who is like that cannot go forward. But this one thing. The Bible says, he that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Why? Because you are plowing ahead. And you are looking back. When you look back, you will not concentrate on the plowing. You will be distracted. You will focus on wrong things. Hallelujah. But this one thing. Some of you have to do just one thing this evening. Forgetting what lies behind. And it's not only bad things you have to forget. You have to forget your successes. I count not myself to have attained. So we say, oh, when I got born again, I was on fire. My zeal was great for the Lord. But since I became a Christian, I have masters in Christianity. So now I'm not really. Oh, in the olden days, we really used to speak in tongues. In the olden days, there was really a move of God. In the olden days, we were really committed. But what about today? Forgetting what lies behind, including your successes. Because your successes make you complacent. Your successes make you compromise. You say, oh, these young people who have come, it's just zeal. Do they know what we've done before? What about today? Remember that the five virgins, at a point, they all had oil in their lamps. They were all waiting for the bridegroom. But as the night wore on, some did not have extra oil. They didn't have more of the Holy Spirit to carry them forward. And so, at the time when the bridegroom was coming, that's when their oil also ran out. And they went out to get some, but when they came back, it was too late. It is not what you wear yesterday. It's what you are when He comes. It's what you are when He calls you. It's what you are when God says, come. You know, most of the time we say, oh, Jesus is coming again. That's true. But many times we go and meet Him before He comes. Amen. So it's not so much Jesus coming again. It's you going to meet Him before He comes. For the rest of the people who have not gone yet. But this one thing I do. Hallelujah. If you keep looking at what you were in the past, it should rather make you. You know, the Bible says in Revelation, I have this against you. You have gone away from your first love. And it says, return and start to do the things that you were doing before. That is the only way you come back into love with God. When you look at the past and it makes you a better person in the present, then that one, God will sanction it. But when you look at the past and you just sit there and say, those were great days. Those were the days when the Holy Ghost moved. What about today? You know, I got born again at a very tender age, at the age of 9. My Sunday school teacher led me to Christ and taught me a lot of things. He taught me even how to preach. He gave me a script. So learn it. So I learned the script by rote, evangelistic script. And then he puts me on a tank in the marketplace. Say, preach. And I had a friend who would interpret in the local language. So preach what you have learned, and I will just preach from the script. And many people will give their lives to Christ. Now, when I think about it, and when I share my testimony, oh, so you started the ministry so long. But for me, it's a frightening thing. Because when I got born again at the age of 9, maybe you had not heard the gift of salvation. And so when we stand before God, my judgment will be different from yours. So I don't have to look at you and say, hey, as for me, I got born again from the age of 9. So there are certain things, you know, I didn't do. It was just the grace of God. What did you do? There are certain things you didn't do. What are the certain things you did? And when I look at those times, I feel frightened. How come now I cannot stand in a marketplace to proclaim the word of God? How come if I started from the age of 9 and if God called me from that time, how come now you just preach at only conventions? How come you cannot preach about Christ in marketplaces? This morning, this year, I was thinking about it. At the turn of the year, I said, Lord, I want to return. I want to preach everywhere. I don't want to ever preach and not give people the opportunity to know you. I want to preach salvation everywhere I go. And oh, how I came to find out that the harvest is really plentiful. It's the laborers that are few. Because as I started to go around to the market, to the different people I deal with, I would just say to them, do you know Jesus? This year. So yes, I go to church. What church do you go to? Oh, I'm Anglican, I'm Methodist, I'm charismatic. But if you died today, would you know where you are going? Oh, I wouldn't know. Would you like to know? Everybody says yes. Everybody I've talked to says, yes, I would like to know. Would you like to pray the prayer? Yes, I would like to pray the prayer. And I thought, how many times I've been to these little shops and stalls and I just chit-chat with a woman and leave. But this year, my heart was broken. I said, God, I don't want to look at the past and write my history. I was born again at the age of 9. I preached in marketplaces. I preached at Akunedi Shrine. We came on children's, and so what? What about today? What are you today? What souls are you winning today? If there's a women's convention, is there always an opportunity for people to give their lives to Christ? God asked me all that. And I said, forget what lies behind. I will reach forward to what lies ahead. But this one thing. Turn to the person next to you and say, but this one thing. There's just one thing to do. Not many things. Amen. The last one thing that you have to do is you can also choose one thing. You can desire one thing, you can do one thing, and you can also choose one thing. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Pray that the Holy Ghost is changing our hearts and changing us. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who moreover was listening to the Lord's words, seated at his feet. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. And she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care about my sister, that she has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art encumbered about with so many things. But only a few things are necessary, or one thing is needful. Really only one, for Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Hallelujah. One thing is needful. The psalmist said, I desire one thing. Paul said, I do one thing. Jesus said, one thing is needful. One thing. Now notice here that when he came, the Bible says that a woman named Martha received him into her home. It wasn't Mary who was at the door. It was Martha. And many of us are like Martha. We have opened the door and we have received him. But when he came in, we got too busy. And we had no time for him. We are so busy with the work of the Lord that we've forgotten the Lord of the work. Hallelujah. We are so busy with the work that we have forgotten to develop our relationship with Him. And the Bible says that she had a sister called Mary who was sitting at Jesus' feet listening. Now, if you are a mother and you have a Martha and a Mary, you will appreciate the Martha. A visitor has come. There's a lot of moving around. He came with disciples and other things. You are sitting at the feet listening to what? You will get a few knocks and a little reprimand. What is that? And Martha came to Jesus and said, I'm very busy. I'm serving you. I'm trying to bring you things. And my sister Mary is not helping me. Can't you see? Please rebuke her so that she will come and help me. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, when God calls you twice, it means pay attention. Thou art encumbered. Encumbered is burdened, loaded, overwhelmed by so many things. And that is how our lives are like as women. We are encumbered, burdened mentally, physically, psychologically, financially, emotionally. In every way, encumbered with so many things. Encumbered about. Whereas Jesus says that, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. As for you, you have come unto yourself, and you are heavy laden. Worry, anxiety, so many concerns. You are encumbered about with so many things. Martha, Martha, thou art burdened with so many things, but one thing only. Back to the psalmist. One thing have I desired. Though a host may encamp around me, though war may rise up against me, one thing. When your marriage is crumbling, it's one thing. Prayer does not look powerful. Prayer looks powerless, but that one thing of seeking God will make that difference. Hallelujah! We are encumbered about with so many things that even now we can't live normal lives anymore. And sometimes we get so encumbered that we end up in mental hospitals that we should not end up in. I said that when I was a teenager in my school, I joined a group called Friends of Ankafo. Ankafo was a mental hospital. And so we would go and visit the inmates or the patients. When we went to the male side, they always, drugs, their hair is out some way, they are walking some way. Whenever we went to the female side, oh, Peter, John, did John really do this? Do you know me? Some of them were people of higher up men, you know. Do you know me? I'm Mrs. So-so-so. When you go, ask for this man. Ask him whether he knows me. Peter.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For enquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.